Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I almost didn't waste my time this week preparing a sermon for you this morning. After all, you know that the world was supposed to end yesterday, May 21st, at 6 p.m. So said Harold Camping, and many people believed him. Yesterday was supposed to be the Day of Judgment, and along with it, the rapture, sweeping away believers from the face of the earth and leaving unbelievers for a short time until another judgment day or something. Of course, as Lutherans, we reject the teaching of the rapture because the scriptures clearly teach that when the end comes, it will come for everyone at once, believers and unbelievers alike. When the end comes, and it will come, judgment day, it will come, Jesus says, like a thief in the night, and no one will know the day or the hour. And so those who claim to know the day and the hour are frauds and false prophets, who plaster their false ideas on billboards and signboards and make a mockery of the real day of judgment that is coming. They lead people astray, like the boy who cried wolf when there was no wolf. And so on the day that the wolf did come, the people of the town would not listen to anyone's warnings. You and I know that there is a real day of judgment coming, though we would never dare to predict on what day or at what hour it might come. Jesus has told us that it's coming, and he's told us to be ready now, because you have to be ready now before it comes. When that day comes, it will be too late to get ready. And the fact is that the actual judging takes place before the day of judgment. That's a good thing. It means that those who believe in Christ don't have to wait and wonder and worry what judgment might come on that day. And it also means that the world, that is the unbelievers, the unbelieving world, is still being given time to be convicted of guilt now, so that they may turn and look to Christ for forgiveness before the day of judgment comes. The one who does that convicting is not you, and it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit himself. And that will be our theme this morning, based on the first portion of today's gospel. The Spirit convicts the world before the day of judgment. Our gospel again this week, like last week, takes us back to Maundy Thursday, the night before Jesus went away to death on a cross. He's told his disciples about his going away to the Father, referring both to his death on the cross and also to his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, and they were sad that he was going away. But they shouldn't have been sad. Jesus tells them, don't be sad. I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Why? Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. A few verses later, Jesus identifies that Counselor as the Holy Spirit. Whether we translate it counselor or comforter or helper, there are many aspects to that word in the Greek. The Counselor will come, and what will he do? When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. First, before the day of judgment, the Spirit will convict the world of sin. Now, the world already has an idea of sin, an incomplete idea, but an idea nonetheless. The world knows what sins are. The world knows that adultery and homosexual behavior and drunkenness are sins, that murder and stealing and lying are wrong, that disobeying and dishonoring parents and others in authority is bad. That's not to say that the world doesn't try to drown out that knowledge of what's wrong or try to change that image of what's wrong. Our world today has been very successful at painting a different picture of those sins so that any and all of them are actually seen as acceptable, normal, even good. Still, try as it might, the world cannot erase the law of God written into the hearts of all people that clearly identifies those things as sin. What the world doesn't understand, what the world needs the Holy Spirit to convict it of, is that not only those things are sin, everything is sin. Original sin, that inborn sin that infects us all, has so totally corrupted us that everything we do is tainted with sin. It's all lumped together by God into that category, for as good as it appears on the outside. So if everything is sin, that hurts. That's hard. The Spirit convicts the world of guilt, Jesus says, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. That's the ultimate sin that the Spirit reveals to the world. Who is ready to admit that sin? Well, I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't hear his word. That's why I'm going to be condemned. People don't admit that, but the Spirit comes and convicts the world of that guilt anyway. For all those who thought they were doing a pretty good job at avoiding sin or making up for their sin by doing good things, the Holy Spirit comes and says, everything is sin. And forgiveness is only found in Jesus Christ. Not believing in Jesus is the chief sin that makes a person answerable for all the others. And the world stands convicted. Now, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? We have to be careful. People have a kind of a small idea of what it means to believe in Jesus. It's more than just believing that that man existed. It's more than just believing that he's the Son of God, or that he died on a cross, or even that he rose again from the dead. To believe in Jesus is to believe you have sin. And to believe that Jesus took your sin to the cross and paid for it there and reconciled you to a gracious Father in heaven by his innocent life and death. To believe in Jesus is to believe that he rose from the dead and lives to advocate for you at the right hand of God forever. To believe in Jesus is to believe that for his sake alone you have forgiveness of sins. That is the Holy Spirit's message to the world. And through it, he convicts the world of guilt in regard to sin because they have not believed in the one God sent, but have wanted to hold on to their sins. And that means they have to answer for everything. Every word, every action, every thought and attitude of the heart. Above all, they have to answer for not believing in God's only Son. Second, the Spirit will convict the world before the day of judgment in regard to righteousness. Now, the world already has a notion when it comes to righteousness. Righteousness in the eyes of the world is what comes from you, comes from your prayers to God, whichever God you worship. Righteousness in the eyes of the world is what comes from you, your actions, your deeds, your charitable acts. And let's be honest, the unbelieving world is perfectly capable of doing lots of good, righteous things in this world, is perfectly capable of helping the needy and doing charity, being kind, being a nice neighbor, helping you change your tire. Those are all good things. They should be done. But those things are not done by the unbelieving world out of love for Christ. They're done as part of a person's own righteousness that he or she claims before God. Then the Spirit comes along and says that righteousness will not help you a hair's breadth on the day of judgment. Jesus says, the Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. What does that have to do with righteousness? Jesus going away where you can no longer see him and being convicted of guilt in regard to righteousness. You have to understand, the world's view of righteousness is what you can see, what you can offer to God. The Spirit's idea of righteousness is that it's all wrapped up in Christ where you can't see it any longer. Where Christ is, that's where God's view of righteousness is. If you want to offer him something, he'll say no, not good enough. When it comes to being reconciled with God, all the good things you might do are worth nothing. The only merit that counts before God and his judgment is that which has already been done by Christ. All of his righteousness, his perfect life, his innocent death, and now his being seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where righteousness comes from. You don't give it to God. So is it God's will that you lead a holy, righteous life on earth as his people? Of course it is. Do that. Make choices that honor God and serve your neighbor. Choices in your life that say no to self and that serve God and your neighbor. Do those things and stop doing things that hurt people. But don't be deceived for even a moment that those good things or lack of bad things help to reconcile you to God. They don't. That's the world's idea of righteousness. The Spirit convicts the world of its idea of righteousness and says you can't have it only in Christ. Finally, before Judgment Day, the Spirit will convict the world in regard to judgment. It's all relevant, isn't it? This, our gospel, a sign for today, for ages and ages and centuries, all fitting in nicely with the prediction of judgment yesterday. The world has a notion about judgment. It's not coming. The world wants to answer to no one. The world scoffs, and how many are scoffing already today? Not just at Harold Camping for his predictions, but at the whole Christian church that dares to say that a day of judgment is coming. How many are laughing and saying how foolish you people are? Even in the Christian church, there are false prophets and false teachers. A famous one now is named Rob Bell. He's a famous megachurch pastor. He's written some things. He recently wrote a book entitled Love Wins. His teaching is that even in the end, God will not bring condemnation on anyone, that hell will be vacant. No one will be judged. No one will be condemned because God's too loving for that. fits right in with the world's idea of judgment. But then along comes the Spirit of God, who will convict the world of guilt in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The world is wrong. There is judgment. There is condemnation. You can be sure of it because the ruler, the prince of this world, already stands condemned. When Jesus rose from the dead, that was the pronouncement that the devil is judged, that the devil will spend eternity in hell. And, as Jesus says, all those who are citizens of his world. All of this convicting happens before the day of judgment, right here and right now, through this preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel which goes out into all the world. The world's judgment is proclaimed, and so men are without excuse. So don't expect that when the gospel of free forgiveness through faith in Christ is preached, the world will come running, because that same gospel convicts the world of guilt. The world doesn't want Christ and free forgiveness in him. The world wants its sin and its version of righteousness and morality. In the end, those who are sentenced to hell will go there because they didn't want what God had to offer in his Christ. The thing is, you wouldn't want what God has to offer in his Christ either. You were likewise at one time, just like the rest, dead in sins and transgressions in which you once lived. You were hostile to God and to his Christ. You didn't want what he had to offer either. It is the mercy of God who sent his Holy Spirit in this word and planted it in you. It is the Holy Spirit who turned your heart from hating God to wanting what he had to offer in Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's doing. It's his conviction. He convicted you of guilt and turned your heart to look to Christ for forgiveness. In holy baptism, the Holy Spirit worked death in you, death to the world, and also life. Life through Christ, making you citizens no longer of this world, but making you citizens of heaven. The Spirit has convicted us of our guilt before Judgment Day, and now as believers in Christ, we have been justified by faith and will be declared sin-free on that day too, when Christ comes in judgment. So, a Christian's purpose on this earth is not to try to set days and hours and plaster them on billboards and signboards and hold them up to scare people. A Christian's purpose on this earth is to sing the praises of him who is our innocent verdict before the judgment. It was in the first song of Isaiah over and over again. Sing to the Lord. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. As we sing God's praises, cantate, like our introit said today, as we sing praises to God, the world will be convicted in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, because our songs, as well as our speaking and preaching and proclaiming, our songs tell the story of God's salvation in Christ. That's why I wanted you to sing all 10 stanzas of that hymn today, because it told the story from beginning to end of the Father's plan, of the Son's carrying it out, and of the Holy Spirit's bringing it to us, convicting us and convincing us that Christ is our Savior, that Christ is your Savior. That's how he gets the world ready for the day of judgment. sing to the Lord a new song. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.